So it's an interesting passage we get this morning on this second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of Peace, as John speaks to us about making straight God's path of peace. We might wonder about how that applies to us, how that applies to this passage, how it applies to the world. So I kept thinking about all the roads I traveled this week. I don't know how many of you traveled many roads this week and the craziness of the traffic on the roads. But the roads aren't really straight, are they? They're all kind of crooked. And I always remember Miss Mary Love Spencer telling me one day, I can't remember when it was, about the curvy road called Kittrell Road. She said, no, you just make it straight. So she never took the curves as the curves. She just made it straight. And I thought about all the times that we see road construction as they're trying to straighten the roads out further and further. And I don't know about any of you, but have you ever ridden on one of those straight roads? And they seem to go on forever. And you're driving and your eyes are starting to droop because the road seems to be long and boring and straight. We kind of like curvy roads, don't we? I know people on motorcycles love curvy roads, especially if they're curvy and they're hilly. Then it's a really exciting road. So you're wondering, I bet, what does roads have to do with this scripture? Well, it has a lot to do with us. That one of the ways that we prepare the way for the second coming of Christ is that we live lives that show people Christ in everything we say and do. So that means that we have a path that we're taking. We have a road that we're traveling. And just like motorcycles like curvy roads, I think sometimes we like some of the things we do that aren't quite Christian a lot more than we like following Jesus. That maybe sometimes we like to gossip a little. Maybe sometimes we like to indulge in things we shouldn't indulge in. Maybe sometimes we like to not pay attention to the things we need to pay attention to. And one of them is forgiveness. We don't like to move into that place of forgiveness. We like to hold grudges. We like to hold bitterness. We like to be the one who was harmed, not the one who has done harm. So John talks to us about this baptism of repentance. What does that do for us? How do we understand it in our culture today? We understand that we need to repent of our sins, but we are always really quick to say, no, that person over there, I made sure I didn't point to anyone in particular, that person over there needs to repent of their sin before I repent of mine. But that's not what this is about. This is about us making straight our path. Making straight the path that God has before us, that we can be the example to the world, that we can show how peace can come. Because as long as we are not reconciled one to another, as long as we are not reconciled within our families, within our friendships, within our schools, within our work, within our environment, as long as that reconciliation is broken, peace can never happen. What can happen is we can stop fighting. But is it true peace? Is it true peace when our relationships are broken so that we don't speak to one another, but we're not harming each other? Have we found that place in our lives where we can actually make that kind of peace in our hearts? Now, I'm not saying that if someone is physically causing you harm, that you're going to make peace and reconcile with them physically, because God wants us to have those barriers of safety around us. But as long as you hold anger and resentment towards the one who has done you physical harm, you are still being harmed. I want us to stop right there for a moment, take a deep breath, and move back to the time of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was preaching this, from the wilderness. It was a time when Judea was under Roman rule. It was a time when the temple, where they used to do their act of repentance in the temple when the temple was sometimes corrupt, probably most of the time corrupt. It'd be very sad to say it was completely corrupt. Then we're making a statement we can't justify, can we? We don't know if every priest in the temple was, but we know that the temple was the place where people would go and do an act of repentance. And they would bring their sacrifice. But they also knew the temple was under the rule of the Roman Empire, and there was a whole lot of connection there that maybe, just maybe, that moment didn't actually cause them to truly repent. And this man from the wilderness, this prophet, comes forward, and he's there in the River Jordan, and he's offering them a moment of repentance, that they can come, confess their sins, be washed clean of their sins. And the scriptures say people were coming. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going to him. He was offering them something the temple could not offer. And so they came and they sought repentance of their sins. But he tells them that there is one coming more powerful than I am. Am I not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals? I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about that moment, baptizing you with the Holy Spirit as he proclaims the coming of Christ. He's making the path ready for people to receive that gift, the gift of our Savior. If we think about all of the things that we hold on to, the things that cause our paths to be as crooked and bumpy and wild as the roads Leah loves to ride on his motorcycles. If we think about how we try again and again to move to that place of forgiveness and repentance, and we can't get there. We can't get there because we're still trying to do it on our own. The only way we can move to that place of peace, the only way we can move to that place of true repentance and reconciliation, is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of God's love being poured upon us. We cannot do it on our own. We can only do it through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we have to be willing to come to the foot of the cross. We have to be willing to name the sin. They confessed their sins. We have to be willing to name the sin to God and ask God to take that away from us. And then we can truly feel the gift of peace that will overcome our spirits because we have made ourselves right with God. And maybe some of the moments include a movement outward to make ourselves right with the people that we need to be made right with. But that can only happen in God's timing, not in ours. We cannot rush it. We cannot push it. We cannot require it of the ones we love because we want them to do it, but we don't do it ourselves. We can only do it when the power of the Holy Spirit tells us it's time for that to happen. So why on the second Sunday of Advent would we have this particular passage and call it the second Sunday of Advent, the Peace Sunday? Because Christ is the Prince of Peace. And Christ came so that the world might be saved. So if we make our crooked paths straight, and we become those beacons of light and hope and peace in our small community, don't you think that that might begin to change the community? Don't you think that when people see the peace that glows in our lives, that they might want a little bit of that too? Don't you think we then need to be the messengers that John the Baptist is to proclaim that message of hope and peace and love to the world? Don't you think that we are the ones that are preparing the way for Christ to come again? And when we make our path straight, then we make our church's path straight. And then God's Holy Spirit can use that to transform the world so that the world might have peace. And all it takes is us being willing to let God do God's work in our lives and help us straighten out our path. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.